Stream ESPN 1000 anytime through the ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Okay. All right, Crosstalk here on Captain J Hood is brought to you by the fine folks over at
PointsBet.
Yeah.
PointsBet, the awesome premium sports book in Illinois. Also, the Club Hawthorne app where you can do your horse wagering. PointsBet, the rest of your sports gambling. Go to the App Store and download both the Club Hawthorne and PointsBet's apps.
Thank you for calling. Thank you for twitching. Our thanks to Danny, Jeff, and JR on the other side of the glass. We're back together Monday between 7 and 10 here on ESPN 1000. And now it is time for Yurko and Carm. Bop, 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 bop.
It's great to be here, guys. Thank you very much. It's great to be here on this wonderful Friday in Chicago.
Your partner,
so sunny.
Your partner is still so downtrodden about the Seabrook retirement.
Yeah.
Is he going to come
sad.
In today?
I don't know where Carm is at. I'm going to be honest with you. When I heard Seabrook was retiring, and I know the affinity that Carmen has for Seabrook, he may be in the basement in the fetal position in the trophy room hugging the 7 jersey that he has for Brent Seabrook.
I mean, I understand.
You know, there's actually a piece of good news, Hoodie.
What's that?
He was making a cap hit of 6.875. They also moved Andrew Shaw and Zach Smith to long-term injured reserve. They're going to have a ton of cap space. They're better than we thought. They could go out and make a bold move.
You like the Bear? You like the Bears cutting salary to get Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson like that?
Well, I don't know. Maybe the Hawks could actually trade for Russell Wilson. They could fit the contract in and then lend him to the Bear.
I understand that. Listen. So, Yurk, you put it in perspective, right? You think about those Stanley Cup teams. He's part of those three cups.
Sure.
I mean, he's one of the all-time greats for sure. But when do you know that your time's up? 15 years, great career. I guess after all the injuries, he just knew, right?
Well, what he should have known is he should have turned the film on and saw what was happening to him on the ice. He was getting taken advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
The surgeries, I think, dictated to him over the course of time. Hey. You know, trying to come back from surgeries at his age with the wear and tear on him. I think eventually he realized that it's not going to come back. There's no magic surgery or magic procedure that is going to happen to me where all of a sudden I'm going to get that speed back that I might have had before. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I think it's a cold realization that an individual goes through knowing that you're not the player that you once were and you just can't do it anymore. That's just the way it is. It can't be done. And it took him time, but I think he finally realized it and said, I think he's at peace with the decision.
Sure. I mean, you have a Hawks team that's in transition anyway. The thing that's impressive to me is that you have no training camp, and then you get off to such a blank, terrible start.
Oh, 2-2?
Just horrible. And you see the development of the team. It's great that you have veterans, and then you have the young players that are also developing at the same time. So they're winning at the right time. They're 7-3 in their last 10. Without looking, I believe 7-3 in the last.
Yeah.
Not bad. I'll take it.
No, they're playing pretty well. And after that bad start, you look at the record, it's actually pretty darn good. I think it's 12-5-3 after that horrific start that they had in the season going down to Florida and going 0-2-2 at the beginning of the season. But, the Hawks, they got thrown in the deep end of the pool.
Right.
You know, somebody was telling me that, with younger players, it's a little more difficult not to have a training camp and not to have those exhibition games. I go, everybody's in the same boat, even if you got a more veteran team. There's not one team out there that left last season, came into this season, was identical. Everybody had something different with their club. Something mm-hmm. different was happening where you had to adjust and you had to go about your business of trying to work new guys into things. And that's where the Hawks were. They had to work new guys into it. It's looking good now.
Yeah.
You know, they look very competitive. Hell, I thought that was a playoff game last night. Yeah. I mean, it was up and down the ice. They were flying. Good stuff happening.
Point one seconds left.
Yep.
0.1 seconds. You're just that close, right?
Did you see what you could get them for, Tampa, at the end of the second? +850.
Oh.
+850. The Hawks were -$1,410. Now, I didn't look at my app and say, hey, I wonder what it is. Pat Boyle and Steve Conroy showed me.
Mm-hmm.
This is what it is now. I had a buddy who had a $100 bet to win $180. So I'm like, you already have that. I said, you should put $50 on that and win $425 if somehow Tampa comes back.
Mm-hmm.
So you only win $130 instead of $180, you know, on the money line bet. I go ahead and do it. I said, just put $50 down, but get your phone out. Put $50 on Tampa. He didn't do it.
Mm.
He gets up, goes to the bathroom. By the time he comes back, the game's tied 2-2. 2-2. The game's tied 2-2.
God.
And then we're cheering for the Hawks.
What was the money line, Yerk? What did the money line
The money
get
line
to
for him, he got it. Well, not during the game. At the beginning of the game, he bet $100 to win $180.
Mm-hmm.
That was what he had on the Hawks. Somebody else had it closer to $200. The money line was plus $850 going into the third period. Plus $850. The Hawks were minus $1,400.
Wow.
Yeah. So I told my buddy, I go, it dictates to you. You'd be prudent on your part to protect your $180 investment by putting a $50 play
mm-hmm.
on the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Right.
And he didn't do it. And then at the end, it came back to bite him, and he's like, I should have done it. I should have done it. I know. But you got to do it at the time. You got to do it real time. You got about 5 minutes to make a decision, and he didn't make the decision. And guess what? Not only didn't he win the $180, he lost $100. Didn't get the 50 for the 425. Would have been a $150 investment to come back with 425. I did the numbers. I'm not an actuary, but I did the numbers.
you didn't have to do it for him not to.
Right.
He didn't put the bet down. So that's so, Carm, you can come out from under the table, man. Yeah,
what up, boys?
He's retired. Hey. I understand. I know you're sad today, but that doesn't mean you got to be late for your own show. For God's sake.
I know. I'm sorry. You have no idea what like the last 20 minutes were like over. I knew I had with this special fancy device that we call a Comrex, the magic of technology that allows us to do these shows remotely. I knew I had it at home. I'm looking all over. I can't find it. I'm like, man, did the kids take this thing? Like, it's in this big box. And, you know, I'm looking.
He calls me up, Putty. He's like, Merck, I can't find the Comrex. Did you take the Comrex back? I can't find the Comrex. Where's
the
Comrex?
Did I bring the Comrex back?
So I said to him, I go, Carm.
I don't know.
Carm, deep breath. Are you okay? And he's like, yeah, I'm okay. Oh, I found the Comrex. All right, we're good. I found the Comrex.
I'm looking all over the house for the damn thing. I'm thinking that.
Don't you have one on your phone?
Well, I do, but it doesn't sound nearly as good. And
right,
so,
well, that's true.
Like, right at 10, I finally called Merck because he had texted me. He said, hey, you ready? Where are you? And I said, so I called him. I said, Merck, I might have to do this on the phone because I don't know where the Comrex
phone.
Is.
1995 Sports Radio. Hey, just want you to know I'm on the phone. Hey,
he goes, well, why
I'm at Ronnie Roma's. I'm at Roma's Beef. How's it
I'm
going?
I'm at Roma's Beef.
What are you talking about on the phone?
Oh, my God. I finally found it. I got it all set up. Thank goodness. I'm like, oh, man. It was hectic, boys. But I heard
you. Hey,
Carm, I got a
question for you.
Yeah.
Do you know what the Hawks now have available in cap space with the three moves today of Zach Smith, Andrew Shaw, and the retirement of Brent Seabrook? They've got $23 million.
Yeah,
$23 million
good.
In space.
I figured it did.
Would you go make a bold
good.
Move? Would you go make a big move?
I mean, I don't know.
I
wouldn't trade anybody from this team right now. Why would you trade away from the core?
I'm trying to say if there is a star out there on a team that feels like, oh boy, it didn't work out for us, bring him here. You can fit any salary you want on the books.
You still
I know,
have
but you're
going to
make a trade.
Talent.
Yeah, I mean, like, weren't we told that they were rebuilding? And doesn't it look like it's actually working? I mean, do you want to trade? Who do you want to trade right now? I mean, you're not trading DeBrincat, right? Or are you? I mean, like, they're in a weird spot. I never thought they'd be adders at any point this year, ever. Like, there was just no way, and it's been such a pleasant surprise, and I'm happy about that, and I think they're going to be a playoff team. It's going to come down to them in Columbus, and I think they're going to be a playoff team. So now you're all of a sudden in a weird spot. I mean, like, what do you really have that you're willing to trade to add somebody if they're going to make a deadline move? I haven't even thought about it too much because I never thought we'd get to this place, guys, that the Hawks would be adders after saying, we're rebuilding, and oh my God, look at this. It looks like it might be working, and we've got some young talent we really like. Now they're going to start getting rid of that, and they're going to add?
You know, I don't know what it would take, but he's unhappy. Jack Eichel in Buffalo is
that's
a type of face of the franchise player who's young and
he's a centerman.
Just throwing it out there. Now that you have the cap space.
That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Like, how would they really be, like, are they really in a position to make a move like that right now? I mean, do they have...
Financially, they are. That's what Cap's telling you.
Right. No, I know. I understand. Yeah. But, I mean, like, with... Do you have the assets to pull off a deal like that? And would everybody be happy with it? I mean, Eichel's bit, like, he's going to waste. We talk about players that go to waste in certain spots, right, guys? Like, he's going to waste in Buffalo, big time.
He's a hell of a player.
Yes, he is. He's very good.
So I see what you're saying, Harm. You're saying, man, I had no idea that the Blackhawks would be in this position. It's something,
no
that,
clue.
It's something that we don't talk about because it's like, isn't this team in transition? As we told... Bowman's like, you're not necessarily, you're not tearing the team down. You're kind of retooling, right? It's not a rebuild. It's retooling. Is it not?
I don't know. However they want to define it. I mean, look, they had to, I think this year signaled definitely in the offseason, it signaled a transition, you know?
Right.
Like,
but you're fourth in the Central.
Right. They're going to make the playoffs, I think, guys. I really do. I mean, Jack Eichel's 24. So it's not like you're, if they were to make a bold move, like Cap said, I mean, you're not trading, you know, these pieces that you have now that you like for a 30-year-old player that is, you know, maybe somebody that there'd be a little bit more risk involved. I don't know that there's too much risk involved in acquiring Jack Eichel, who is,
you know,
not had a great year this
is?
Year, but is in a bad spot. I do not. Off the top of my head, I do not.
So he signed an $80 million extension. And he is making $10 million a year through 2025, 2026.
So he's another $10 million a year guy that you'd add that Taves is still on your books and Kaner. I mean,
well okay. So let's equate this to the Bulls, right? You're ninth in the league. You have 29 points. Do you feel the Hawks are close enough to be able to make some noise in the playoffs because they're on a run? That would be the equivalent of Cap coming in and saying, hey, you know what? The Bulls, they're on the precipice of getting into one of the top eight teams in the East. Make a move here, you know, trade whoever, whatever veteran, Thaddeus Young, and get better,
yeah.
Get, you know, or pick up Drummond. Yeah, you know you're not going to beat Philly or Brooklyn, those teams in the East, so why would you make that move? And the same thing with the Hawks. Are the Hawks that good that you can make a move and say, you know what, we're as good as Tampa and Toronto? Are you?
Yeah, but here's my point on that, Hoodie. The difference would be if Otto Porter walked in today and said, I can't do it. I'm done. I'm retiring. My back is bad. And all of a sudden, the Bulls looked up and went, oh, God, we've got $50 million in cap space. You could go get someone that not only helps you now, but you feel like could be a part of you long term. I'm not talking about getting a 35-year-old guy to try and win now. Jack Eichel, you have for the next decade. I'm talking about the Bulls found themselves in that unusual situation. Whoa, wait a second now, guys. We've got $52 million in cap space this summer, and all this opened up because we got Otto Porter to retire? Yes, go out and invest it.
Well, I'm you've got time and you've got pay. April 12th is the trade deadline in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
You've got this 9 out of 11 set against the Florida teams. I'd wait and be patient. You got no reason or no urgency to do anything right now. And yeah. Nobody is in the movement. I mean, in the mood to go ahead and do anything before they have to, you know, later on. So you probably got about 14, 15 games you're going to be able to fit in. I think you'll have a better idea knowing exactly who you are, you know, after this 11-game stretch. And then if you feel like you want to pick up something, then go ahead. But, I mean, why would you bring in a guy like that, okay, you bring in a superstar, but then again, that inexpensive, cheap talent,
right,
that you have, that you develop, that allows you to become a championship team, those would be the pieces that Buffalo would want.
Like,
they don't want an aging superstar or aging, declining superstar.
And I don't think you're swapping out Kane for Eichel. That wouldn't make much sense for you. Can you? I mean, look, it's a sexy idea. It's like, as a hockey fan, it's a sexy idea to think of Patrick Kane playing with a centerman like Jack Eichel. I mean, other than when Taves and Kane are paired together, and we've seen that over the years, and we saw it when Q had to load up in playoff games, you know, maybe you put that lineup out there. Other than that, like, when has Kane played with anybody at the center position that is of the ilk of Jack Eichel? I mean, it's never happened. And still look at the way Patrick Kane has produced in his career. He's never played with anybody like Jack Eichel.
That was my point.
The idea that is something, but Yurko's right. I mean,
except for Taves, when you play with Taves.
Well, that's what I said. Other than when Taves and he are paired up together.
He's never
played with anybody like that. And so, and I mean, the idea, like, yeah, you go, wow, that would be incredible, Jack Eichel in a Hawks sweater. But Yerk's right. I mean, now you're swapping out young, inexpensive talent for a huge contract. The salary cap ain't that much in the NHL, guys. We know it.
It can't play on four lines
salary cap. That's right. And all of a sudden, with all the uncertainty around Taves, like, can you have three players eating up $30 million of your salary cap? I mean, I don't know how they could do that.
All right, guys. Have a great show.
All right, boys. Cap. This was spirited hockey talk. I love it.
That's right. You're on the NHL Network coming up next.
The NHL.
Bob Pulford will also break it down.
Morrison and with a little Canadian rye.
We'll have Jigs McDonald. Randy, give me Jigs McDonald. Find me a Jigs McDonald from Sports Channel. All right. 7 to 10 tomorrow, Cap and I. Cap, have a great call on NBC Sportsnet today, my friend.
Yeah, and I won't be there 7 to 10 tomorrow. I'll see you Monday, though.
I'll be here tomorrow 7 to 10.
He's coming in early tomorrow.
Absolutely. I will be in. All right. See ya.
Enjoy. All right. We'll talk to you.
See ya.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko
on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000. Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All seven and we'll watch them fall. They stand in the way of love and we will smoke them all with an intellect and a savoir-faire.
That one gloved down by Erickson. Builder to him now and Nyquist. Oh, my. He's run into by Boland. Right back ahead comes Seabrook with a shot. He scores! Eventual goal scorer is going to work himself into that area, and that's Brent Seabrook. The hit, picks up the puck, and Seabrook comes in, takes a quick wrist shot right over the glove of Jimmy Howard. The neutral zone, not a lot of room all night long. Seabrook finds it. Quick little wrister, skate left, shoot right. And the reaction from the Blackhawk bench.
I mean, that's coming up on 8 years ago, good kid, and I can close my eyes and picture it like it was yesterday, and I remember Yurko saying they're going to come back. You did the Sal Pal before Sal Pal told us the Eagles were going to win the Super Bowl. Yurko said they're going to come back, and they're going to still beat the Red Wings. And I went, man, I wish I could be as optimistic as you, Yurko. I don't know. Down 3-1, not a good thing. And they did come back. All the way, and they went to that game 7, and they went into overtime. Remember, everybody thought Hjalmarsson had won the game at the end of regulation,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
And then they go to overtime, and Seabrook completes the comeback with that goal. Number 7 is hanging him up, and he was truly a great Hawk. And the other thing I'll always remember from that series, Yurk, is when he went and kind of calmed Johnny Taves down in one of the games in Detroit when Johnny was on tilt and took back-to-back silly penalties. And it was, you know, it was Seabrook acting like the captain for a minute, going to tell one of the Hawks' most important players, hey, we need you, man. You got to get your head right and get your head back in this game. And I'll always remember a couple of those huge key moments of Brent Seabrook's career in that Detroit series. But what a career it was for the Hawks.
The skill guy was Duncan Keith. That's the guy, the skill guy, the guy that was going to be up for the Norris Trophy all the time, the best defenseman in hockey. But he was the stay-at-home defenseman, you know? He was that guy. Let everybody else do what they need to do. He was going to be that solid rock back there. Unfortunately for him, at the end of the career, he skated like a solid rock out on the ice. And, ultimately injuries and age catch up with every player. And, unfortunately it causes him to retire. But, yeah, you want to talk of the guys that you're going to remember, the numbers, 1988, 2-7. You know, You'll remember those guys. And then all the other guys that were bits and pieces of those trophies, whether it was Boland, you know, whether it was Dustin Byfuglien, you know, whether it was Versteeg, or any of those guys that you had out there that were bits and pieces of those three trophies. But those four guys were definitely pieces of all three.
Yeah, he was one of the rocks, absolutely. And it was a heck of a career for Brent Seabrook. I hate that, you know, a lot of times when we talk about Seabrook now, we always talk about the contract. I mean, you know, and look, that it's hurt the Hawks, let's face it.
Hey, if I was him, I'd have signed it too.
Of course. No,
you're a player wanting to get paid. You had a great career. You were probably underpaid while you were playing. Of course, you're going to sign that contract. You want to collect every dollar of it.
Absolutely. And look, the Hawks are going to play this game now each and every year where they're going to put him on long-term IR so that they can recoup some of that money. That's what we were discussing, you know, during crosstalk.
Right.
They'll get some of that relief off of the cap. And every year for the next couple of years, because Brent still has, you know, he's still in contract for the next couple of years, they'll have to put him on long-term IR. But he has made it clear with his statement today that his body just can't take it anymore. I think we probably saw this coming with the surgeries and then the back injury to kind of kick things off this year. We could have seen it coming. I mean, the guy's been operated on, you know, in the last year, I don't know how many times. And this is just the end of the road. But what a great career it was. Yeah, I hate that we sometimes sit around and say, man, that damn Brent Seabrook contract. But like Yurko said, the player should sign it. He should get every dollar. Because that's what he earned. It was just not a good contract when they, you know, it was not a good extension monetarily or long-term-wise, I think, for the Blackhawks when they signed him to it. But he was a hell of a player, that's for sure. And, you know, is he one of the guys that gets his number thrown up there? Two is going to, like Yurk said. 88, 19, I think Hossa probably. I mean, how
81,
many from one era can you retire? But, you know, I think you got to think about Seabrook and doing like a combo
best
thing
player,
with me and Shelley.
Is he the best? Well, okay, with him and Shelley, I mean, that's what I was going to come at you with. You said Chelios was the best defenseman, American-born defenseman that we've had.
Yeah.
You know, and how much better was Chelios than Seabrook?
A lot.
All right, so, I mean, what are we doing here? You know, Pierre Palat and Magnuson. Magnuson was more loved than he was a great player on the ice. They loved Keith Magnuson. What Keith Magnuson got with Pierre Palat wasn't because Keith Magnuson was a great hockey player, but he was beloved as a Chicago Blackhawk. So, I don't know if Seabrook's name ever goes up with Chelios. If Chelios's number gets put up there, okay, honor well deserved.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I still can't believe that. I mean, not to be honest, that's like a sensitive subject for some. Some Hawks fans still want to boo him and get mad at him. But I think it's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, that Chris Chelios' number is
if
not
he's
retired.
Not the
crazy.
Best number seven on the team, how can you retire the number? You know, all
no,
time?
Yeah. It doesn't it seem like a Cubs situation with Fergie and Greg Maddux?
A little bit.
Where they, you know.
But,
it, listen,
like,
if you're,
but 1000. Fergie and Maddux were.
But Maddux, what did Maddux do with the Cubs?
He had one Cy Young with the Cubs.
He did. But the vast majority of Greg Maddux's career accomplishments came with the Braves.
Yeah.
Whereas Chelios played for almost a decade with the Blackhawks, right? He had a longer run with the Hawks than Maddux had with the Cubs, and the Cubs still felt, you know, when they retired Jenkins' number, they put Maddux, like, right? They honored it with him.
They did.
So
that's why we wondered about that. Like,
it's one of those things where
something similar.
Is there any harm if you're the Hawks, if you're going to go ahead and retire number seven? Because you're not going to retire it for Seabrook, but not Chelios, right?
Right. You can't do that.
So
right?
If you're gonna,
I mean, it'd be crazy.
If you're going to retire it for Chelios, then you may as well just go ahead and throw up another seven along with it for Seabrook. There's no, you know, unless Chelios going to get really upset about it, I don't think anybody's, you're not offending your fan base, are you?
No, I don't think so. I think it's something that they probably should do. But you can't do seven for Seabrook and not Chelios. And that's, you know, I think that's the point because Chelly was just too great, too dominant of a player. Like, it's still amazing to me 20 something years later how sometimes Hawks fans still get riled up talking about Chelios and he's a traitor and he wanted out and he went to Detroit. And I mean, they were miserable. I mean, he was looking towards the end of his career.
He won
was
two Norris trophies with the Chicago Blackhawks. He won a third with Montreal before he got here.
Right. He won his very first when he was pretty young in Montreal. He, you know, he was the captain on a team that went to a cup. He was, like Yurko said, he was a Norris Trophy winner. He's from here. He's the great, you know, he might be the greatest American-born player ever. He's certainly in the conversation, you know, in the top five. I mean, like, it's crazy that it's not retired at this point. So I think if you're going to do it, it would be a nice tribute to do to both. Look, all I'm saying is Seabrook meant an awful lot to this organization. And he and Keith go back to a time when they were brutal. I mean, they've seen it all. They've seen it all come full circle. Remember,
Cam Barker was one of your defensemen. My heavens.
Like, they have literally seen it all. They came here when nobody cared.
The stadium was empty.
5,000 of us. It was empty. And there were maybe 5 or 10,000 of us that, you know, still wanted to talk about the Hawks and watch them. I mean, like, Seabrook and Keith can remember that. They go back to that era. And he meant an awful lot to this organization and to their run. We can talk more about it, too, if people want to weigh in about.
Oh, we've got calls, Carm.
Yeah, like how the Hawks should handle Seabrook and should they retire both those numbers. And you know, like, what should happen as we approach a trade deadline now? You know, Yurko said last night felt like a playoff game. That was, you're right.
Yeah.
It was a good call. I mean, it did. Like, the Hawks are going to make it. They've got a game in hand now on Columbus. They'll catch up, I guess, tonight. But they're 4 points clear of Columbus. Like, you know, if the Hawks continue to play this way, I think they're going to get that fourth spot. Tampa, Carolina, and Florida are locks in the Central for the playoffs this year. I think the Hawks are going to get that spot. Like, what do they do now, especially because they've put some guys on long-term IR and they're going to have a little cap space. 312-332-3776. We'll talk about all that. Sit tight. We'll be right back.
This is Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Coleman, a little stop and go. Couldn't get away from to break it, but he still got it. Coleman looking to fold to the front of the net. Put it up high. Langen, it didn't know where it is. Good play, Boquist. Now held in Hedman. Hedman with three. Hedman shoots it. He scores! It looks like a good goal. Did the red light come on before the green? I think so. And Victor Hedman in the final second may have just won it for the Lightning.
Literally, 0.2 seconds, I think, when that puck cleared the line. I mean, that was a tough way to lose last night. But the Hawks, for the first time this year against Tampa, at least get a point. What a hockey game. I mean, everybody was buzzing about it afterwards. And then they're right back at it tonight. And then again, Sunday, during one of the doubleheaders on NBC Sports Network. So a lot of Hawks Lightning. It's a hell of a team. The Hawks stayed strong with them, though. Yurko was telling me a story when we talked this morning, and I think you were mentioning it at the start of Crosstalk, Yurk. I jumped in a little bit late, but you were talking about your buddy who did not take your advice and pull the trigger on an in-game bet. It's funny that you brought that up today, too, or that it just happened, because as I'm going to talk to Mike North later tonight on Odds Couple, I was going to talk to Mike about just some betting strategy stuff, because it's kind of a quiet weekend with no NBA tonight and stuff like that. And the tournament hasn't started yet. I was going to talk about in-game betting and things like that. And then you told the story about watching the Hawks game last night with a buddy, and you told them, go ahead and back up your bet on the Hawks with a Tampa Bay money line bet,
and,
right?
And I was spurned because I was watching the game, and when Pat Boyle and Conrad were going to go to a break, they threw that up there. Hmm. You know, or they were coming out of a commercial, they threw it up there, and it was plus 850 for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Then I looked over, and the Hawks were minus 1410, and I said to my buddy, listen, they are the defending Stanley Cup champions. I go, defending Stanley Cup champions and good teams have a way to come on back. I go, they don't have to win. They just have to get two goals in a period. Can the Lightning score two goals in a period? I said, well, yeah, they can. I go, you know, they'd have to stop the Hawks from scoring. But you go through the scenarios. I go, but they are the defending Stanley Cup champions. You're getting plus 850. How ridiculous is that? If the Blackhawks win, you're fine. I said, just throw a $50 wager down. And so instead of winning 180, you'd win 130 if the Blackhawks ended up winning. If Tampa comes back and wins, you're going to get $425, right? $425. So you'd have the $50 wager, which you end up getting back, but you lose the $100. So you end up
100.
Yeah, you end up $325 up.
Yes.
Right. So why not do it? It makes mathematical sense for you to go ahead and do it. You're going to win. You're going to win. Why not win both ways?
Man.
And he didn't listen to me.
And two minutes in, the game was tied.
Yeah. It was 17:05. 17:05. 2:55.
2:55 in.
You know what? The only thing, and you're absolutely right, Yurko. The only thing is when you do place that bet and then the Lightning do score those two quick goals, then you have the
Why didn't I put more on that?
The internal dilemma of what am I rooting for right now? Because you know that the Lightning coming through is much better for your pocketbook. But as a Hawks fan, you're like, oh, you get 2 points from the Lightning. You'd much rather have that. But then your true fandom is tested.
Yeah. I almost think he didn't want to jinx him. Maybe. That's what I think is I don't want to jinx the Hawks by putting that kind of play on it. And listen, don't use your mind and don't use your heart. Use your pocketbook. The pocketbook dictates it. So
Bet with your head, not
but
your
heart.
But
he regretted it right away. As he walked out with his head down low, I think he regretted it right away.
I bet. So tonight, the Hawks and the Lightning right back at it. We're talking about Seabrook's retirement and if, you know, the Hawks should hang that number up there someday and retired for Chelios and Seabrook. I mean, both meant a lot to this organization, as we've documented. I mean, Seabrook really meant a heck of a lot. I mean, he was truly one of their great leaders and one of their rocks through what was a little mini dynasty that we all enjoyed in the last decade. 312-332-3776. Where should we go to the phones here?
Let's go to John.
You lead the way.
Yeah, I will. We'll go to John in Evanston. John in Evanston. John,
hey,
welcome
guys.
Aboard. How are you?
Good. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you.
Absolutely.
Two things I want to bring up. I would like to see them put Seabrook's number up there. He got a winning goal against Boston when we were playing the Bruins in the finals one year. He was a rock back there. I mean, he wasn't as hard a hitter as I would have liked him to have been, but, you know, he was there. And he was active on the ice when he played. And I'm sure he probably would have retired earlier if he didn't think that he actually didn't think he was going to come back sooner. But the thing I really wanted to bring up, and I'm actually glad I did this now, I got Seabrook's number on a throwback jersey. Mm-hmm. And I'm really glad I did because he was actually one of my favorite players on that team during that period. He really was. A lot of people looked at me and said, why would you get Seabrook's number? And I said, because I actually like the guy.
Listen, he was one of their most popular players. I know there are some sexier names like Taves and Kane and Hossa and Keith, but yeah, I mean, he was great. And plus, lucky number 7. You can't go wrong with the number 7 on your jersey, I guess. Right, Yerk?
Well, I don't think you can. I don't think you can. You know what, a big fan. Big fan.
Didn't he name one of his kids, or is he the middle name of one of his kids is 7?
Well, I think the middle name is 7, yes.
Yeah.
The middle name is 7.
Hey, like as a tribute to himself and Seinfeld and Mickey Mantle.
To whatever number 7 offers to the world.
You ready?
Yeah. What is that, sign language?
7.
7.
Let's go to
Mickey
Brad.
Mickey Mantle's number. Go ahead, Yerk.
Let's go to Brad, Minnesota. Brad, what's
up? What's going on, fellas? I got points I want to bring up for you real quick. First, hit it with Seabrook. Arguably, I would consider the second most important goal in the mini dynasty is the one you guys played. That goal against Detroit was unbelievable. First, probably being Hossa's overtime winner against Nashville in 2010 that obviously kicked off the whole dynasty. But without Seabrook, you know, scoring that goal in overtime, everything was going against him. Like you said, the goal called back, just absolutely huge. And then the second thing I want to bring up is with the LTIR, I do not believe the Hawks should do any sort of crazy move, even though they do have cap room. You got Seattle coming in next year. You got a lot of teams that are trying to understand where their clubs are at. You can weaponize a lot of that salary cap ability to, you know, make some deals, especially with Seattle coming in, like I mentioned. I think at this point, you don't ruin the mojo. You let the boys just play it out. You got a lot of unknowns, especially with Doc and Taze, you know, still out of the lineup. And we kind of revisit this last year. Bringing in a big name has traditionally never really worked. So, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah. No, I think it's I think there's some good points there. I mean, like, I can't imagine that their mindset changes or shifts. I said shifts too much here. I mean, you know, this was about a rebuild year. It's going better than anticipated. You have young, inexpensive players right now that are playing very well for you. You're probably going to be a playoff team. What do you really want to start breaking? Do you really want to start to break that up and start to trade some of your young, inexpensive talent that is firing? And I don't think you want to, just because you're recouping some of the salary now with putting those three guys on long-term IR. And again, you got to make the point that Seabrook's money is still going to be on the books every year. Now, they'll play this game they put him on long-term IR, but when the season begins, his number is going to count towards the salary cap as they start the season. You know what I mean? Like, this is going to reset in the offseason. There will be $7 million that has to be accounted for. Yes, they'll get it back, but they're not going to be able to add a salary.
Right. They want the cap's $80 million. They won't be able to have $87 million
correct
worth of salary correct. Cap, anticipating he's coming off the books. They'll correct. Have to be at 73. He'll come off the book. You know, they'll have to be at, what's the word? Yeah, those 73, they're working operations. His right. seven count up toward the 80. When the season starts, they put him on that list, then they get that money back and they create some room for themselves.
That is correct.
Yeah.
That's
let's go
right.
To, let's coming. Go to Mikey out in Hinsdale. Mike, what's going on, kid?
Hey, guys. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, Friday, man.
Yeah, so for retiring Seabrook's jersey, I mean, they had the big five during those three cup runs with Taze, Kane, Seabrook, Keith, and Hossa. I'm wondering where you can retire all five numbers. Taze and Kane are a given that they're going to get retired. So I had an idea maybe creating like a statue with all five guys on it and putting that in the UC just to honor, you know, Seabrook, Keith, and Hossa without having to actually retire their numbers.
Interesting. We love a good statue. Yeah. I mean, it is a lot of numbers. I know. But I mean,
it's going to be a lot of pigeon stands outside the United Center.
Well, maybe you put it inside somewhere. You know, they got the big atrium and everything.
Right.
Now.
You got Scotty inside.
You got Scotty.
Michael's yeah. inside now.
I mean, and is it really that big a deal when you're like the Cardinals and they're just unretired numbers if you really have to in a pinch anyway? Is it really meaningful?
I'm not a fan of the unretired
I'm
number.
Not either.
If you retired the damn thing, what are we bringing it out of retirement for?
Exactly. What's the point?
You put thought into the fact that you're going to say nobody will ever wear this number again, and then you say, oh, well, we got J.J. Watt. Let's just give it to him. We'll ask his granddaughter. That barely even knew her grandfather to see if it's okay. What does she give a rat's ass
He's
about?
Dead. He's
she
dead.
She doesn't care.
He's been dead forever. It is kind of weak,
right? Yeah, this guy's taking a dirt nap. He's got no thoughts on the process.
If I was his granddaughter, I would have been like, sure, you could unretire his number. Just give me 10 grand.
Yeah.
Maybe 20.
That's what I would have. Like Yurko said, you got to get something. I don't know. I mean, I know it's a lot of numbers. I don't know how you – Taves and Kane are obviously locks. I don't know. To me, Duncan Keith is a lock. I mean, you know, you're going to have to retire that
Listen,
number.
Listen, two's going up. 1988, 81. Those are four.
I mean
– Yeah, like, usually, like, if you're a Hall of Famer, it's usually pretty easy to go ahead and retire that number, right? Yeah.
Yes.
It's the ones where they're not Hall of Famers, where they're, like you mentioned, Magnuson fan favorites, and that you feel the need to go ahead and retire them. That's where it gets a little dicey.
But it's like Burley and Konerko's numbers getting retired.
Yes.
You know, I get that. That makes sense. They were meaningful, impactful, important players to the organization on the South Side. They're not Hall of Famers, but they should be. And, like, Seabrook, I think, is part of that crew, and you've got to do it together with he and Shelley. But those other four are all Hall of Fame. They were great players. They're all Hall of Fame players. They're all going to get retired. We'll talk more about this with Jesse Rogers, too. Jesse's going to talk baseball at 11, but remember, he covered a lot of Seabrook's early career, and Jesse covered the Hawks for so long. So he had texted me, said, hey, when I come on later, I definitely want to talk about Seabrook a little bit. So we'll do that with Jess coming up in about 15. 312-332-3776 if you've got thoughts. We're having a good time on Friday here talking Hawks, Brent Seabrook's retirement. We got some other stuff, too. So stick around. We'll be right back. This hour of the show is brought to you by Manscaped. The Lawnmower 3.0 is the perfect tool for a safe and satisfying Manscaped job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the discount code Chicago.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Get Carmen and Yurko podcasts on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
I'd like you to meet a real inspiration.
Carmen and Yurko, ESPN 1000.
Bases loaded, two out. With Konerko on. And he rips one into left. Konerko, grand slam.
How about that? We were just talking about PK. I didn't even realize it was his birthday. Happy 45 to Paul Konerko.
Big 45.
He might make my top five all-time favorite White Sox, Yurk. I love PK.
Well, you promised the world the top five sandwiches the other day, and you cheated us on that. Forgot about it yesterday. You went right over. So you want to do your top five White Sox? Let me hear them.
I know you've got Konerko higher than Jose Abreu on your
That's
list.
That's for sure.
Oh, hell yeah. Absolutely.
I don't think Jose would make my top five just yet.
And where does Dick Allen fit in? That's what
Dick
I'd
Allen,
like to know.
Dick Allen, I'm a little young for Dick Allen. I mean, I know the legend of Dick Allen, obviously. Harold Baines.
Number three.
Would be in my top five.
Right.
Mark Burley would be in my top five.
Sure he would.
Ozzie Guillen, Robin Ventura.
How about Lamar Hoyt?
Paul Konerko.
Oh, that's not a bad top
five.
So
no Frank? So you don't put so if they won MVPs, apparently they do not make your list. Jose Abreu, listen, Dick Allen, Frank Thomas.
These aren't
not
the
on
best.
Your list.
These are well. Dick, did you say Dick Allen?
Yes.
Dick Allen. By the way, I didn't watch Dick Allen play. How could he be my favorite player?
He won an MVP,
guys. But this is different. It's favorite player. Favorite
exactly.
Player is
you,
not best
Mello, you didn't
player.
Watch. Is Dick Allen one of your favorite players? You didn't watch him play. How could he be a favorite player of yours?
Actually, I do really like. I've read a lot about him, so I'm very. But yes, he probably wouldn't sneak into my favorite list.
Googled him,
but I just find it amusing that you have three White Sox MVP winners. None of them are on your list.
The team of the '80s is the team I mostly associate myself with because as a kid, I was leaning toward being a Cubs fan, but I still watched a lot of baseball because I actually enjoyed baseball back then. So, like, Mikey Squires is one of my favorite players.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? I like Mikey Squires.
See, Yurko likes Mike Squires. I mean, how many people would probably say that? It's Yurko's favorite.
Greg Walker. Greg Walker was absolutely fantastic. I loved him. He never said a word. First baseman, lefty, southpaw, sweet swing. Loved him. Kittle. Ron Kittle. Remember, that was my team.
You won a rookie of the year, yeah.
Yeah, Ozzie.
Yes, did.
Okay. Love the
Ozzie's on my list. Yes.
For
I
one
love
reason or another, there's two that tie for fifth for me. Both outfields, the Roadrunner, Rolf Garr, and Chester Lemon. Boy, those two guys for me. Call. And remember, now, of the modern day player, Mark Burley's one of my favorites.
So you're
so the modern day player, Mark Burley.
They don't just because they win MVP doesn't mean they have to be your favorite player.
Right. There's the guys that I liked. When I love baseball.
I understand. And you're a little different because the Cubs are your favorite team, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, like.
And it's Billy Buckner's my favorite player.
Do you have Sandberg or Dawson? They don't make your list, do they?
They don't make my list, no. Right, Sandberg or Dawson. Too many people love Sandberg. He gets enough love from everybody that he doesn't need my love.
That's fair.
Okay?
Yeah, I mean, it's.
My love will go to, like, Champ Summers. And little Mickey Keller.
I'm surprised Frank's not on your list, Carm.
I'm surprised.
Frank would
too.
Be close. I mean, Frank would be somewhere around there. I'm just telling you from
how about
my
Blackjack?
Favorite, the guys I think of, the players that made me sort of fall in love with the White Sox more than anything are Ozzie and Robin. So I'm sorry. I mean, it wasn't Frank as much.
Not Alex Fernandez?
If you win an MVP, you disqualify from Carm's favorite list. I got it. Point made.
I don't know. I mean, it's just that's... I don't think you have to win an MVP award to be
a favorite.
I don't think just because you win an MVP that makes it you that right. player then has to be the favorite right. on you know the team that you root for. Sylvie asked a question too. He wanted to know who we think was more. How did he phrase it?
Sylvie asked a question.
He texted me.
Oh.
He said, "Who is more important / better, Seabrook or Sharp? Important and better." Kind of
well, okay. It's a little bit unfair, and I'm going to tell you why. One is a offensive player and doesn't get as much ice time as the first paired defensive unit does. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I would say the easier replace guy would be Patrick Sharp.
Me too.
As opposed to the defenseman. The defenseman is more important in this scenario, if you had to ask me.
Yeah, in their prime, you basically had two
and I love
Sharpie. Two all-star defensemen that you could split up or play together, and you had a rock on the ice all
right.
the time.
Like, yes,
I agree with Yurko. I'd say Seabrook was slightly more important. No disrespect to Sharpie, who we liked very much. When we come back, Jesse Rogers will join us. We'll talk a little baseball with Jess, but also he wants to share some thoughts on Seabrook's career because, like I said, Jesse covered him for quite some time. So we'll do that with Jesse coming up here in just a few minutes. Mike North has his bonus play. I think Mike has hit like 7 straight bonus plays. So don't miss Mike North at 11:45. I don't want to jinx him either, but he gave out another winner last week. We'll be back in just 2 minutes.